to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, if God calls your name one time, you listen. If he calls it twice, you really listen. And it's what I call the law of double emphasis. And it shows the ultimate importance that Simon Peter get what God is trying to give him. And I really believe if he would have listened like he should have in this text, some things would have been different in his life. And I believe tonight, every time we go to church, it's imperative that we get and absorb what God wants us to have. I believe that God prepares us today for what we will face in the future. And I don't want to miss what God has for me tonight. And so he says, Simon, Simon, behold, stand at attention, get a hold of this. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32 begins with what I call a heavenly conjunction. But. And son, I'm glad when God butts in. It makes a difference. But I have prayed for thee. I have underlined, holler amen right here. Amen right here. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. And he said, I'll tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm interested tonight in that phrase in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And for the next several hours, praise God, I want to preach tonight on this subject. Failure is not final with the Father. You may be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we love thee tonight. And we thank you for the goodness of God in the land of the living. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'll open up our heart, that we may feast at the table of God. Speak to our hearts, change our lives, encourage our spirit, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Not only tonight is the Bible a helpful book, and not only tonight is the Bible a holy book, but the Bible is an honest book. This is the most honest book that I know that exists in the world tonight. And what I mean by the word honest is this. If I was going to write a book about my children and my family, I would tell all of the good stuff, and I would exalt all the good qualities, and I'd leave out all the bad. I'm amazed at some people and families I've pastored through the years that just seem to enjoy drying out their dirty laundry for the whole world to know. But if I was going to write a book about my family, I'd leave off the negatives and the bad. But God is too holy and God is too honest to do that. So when God wrote this book about his family and his children, he not only showed us his family at its best, But he showed us his family at its worst. Not only did God deal with their strengths and their successes and their victories, and not only does he let us shout with his children on the mountain of victory, but he allows us to take journeys with his children into the valley of defeat. And God not only tells us about the great exploits of his family, but he tells us about their failures as well. And when we come tonight in our text to our dear brother by the name of Simon Peter, what a man he was, what a preacher he became, what a leader of the faith he developed into. But it was not always great and good and wonderful with Simon Peter. That was a day in his life when he made a terrible mistake and made a terrible failure. Not once, not twice, but three times denying that he even knew who the Lord was. But there's one thing that encourages me about the honesty of the Bible. If God can forgive Simon Peter, then God can forgive me. If God can look beyond his fault and see his need, he can look beyond my fault and see my need. If God can use Simon Peter on the other side of failure, then God can use me as well on the other side of failure. It encourages me to know tonight, if failure is not final with the Father in the life of Simon Peter, then failure is not final with the Father in your life and in mine. I appreciate the honesty of the Bible. Because if all I ever read in the Bible is Elijah's wonderful prayer life, Moses' great leadership abilities, and all of the great exploits of these heroes of the faith, I would feel like it was way above and beyond my ability to get anything out of it. Oh, but when I watch them weeping over their sorrow, and when I watch them walking through the valley of defeat, when I see them standing on the brink of destruction, I am reminded that the Bible is not for just those who walk high upon the mountain, but it's for those who have to walk down through the valleys of trouble and trial. For I found out one thing reading about God's family. He was not only the God of the mountain, but he was also the God of the valley. And he not only was with them on the mountain, but he was with them in the valley. He was not only God in their life, in their successes, but he was still God in the midst of their failure. I'm glad tonight that failure is not final with the Father. The brethren may write you off. I want to be wrought off by some of them. Fella sent me word the other day. He said, tell him he ain't mean enough to be one of us. I said, thank you for the compliment. The brethren may write you off. Denominational leaders may write you off. The local minister assassination may write you off. But I want to tell you, there is a God who cares about you. And there is a God who loves you. And there is a God who goes beyond what man can do. And Simon bit the dust and he bit it real bad. But failure is not final with the Father. I want to expound a little bit in these verses tonight and see the working of God in his life. Notice in verse number 31 how Jesus begins to deal with Simon. He calls his name twice, Simon, Simon. It's imperative, it's important. Listen to what I want to say to you. And Jesus said, I got to tell you something. Satan hath desired to have you. I looked up that little word desire and it means to pant, to lust, to crave. He said, Simon, I need to tell you, you have an adversary. Simon, you have someone tonight who is your enemy. Simon, there is one tonight that seeks your destruction. And may I say to every child of God in this building tonight, you have an enemy. You have an adversary. There is a foe tonight that's after your life and my life and your family and my family and your ministry and my ministry. We have an enemy. You see, I believe the devil knows more about the Bible than some Baptists. I believe the devil knows that night I got saved, he lost me. I'll never go to hell. I've even been told to, and I just say I can't. The devil knows I'll never go to hell. He knows he'll never rip Jesus and the Holy Ghost out of my heart. He knows I'll not be here when the tribulation comes. He knows he can never damn my soul to an eternal hell. But my family and my home and my joy and my peace and my testimony, that's what he's after tonight. That's what he craves for. That's what he longs for. And we have an enemy. Let me say it like this. We're saved. We're heaven bound with the hammer down. And the devil is mad about it. As I begin to read this text, that thought, man, enraptured my heart. That Satan hath desired to have you. And I thought, well, what did Simon Peter have that the devil wanted so bad? Well, I don't believe it was his money. He was just a common worker of the day. I don't believe it was his talent and ability. He looked like a normal guy to me. I don't believe it was anything material that he could have had. What did Simon Peter have that was so good that the devil wanted to get his hands on? Well, think about this. Look beyond what Simon Peter is now in this text to what he is going to be after this text. He became a mighty, mighty, mighty preacher of the gospel. He became a pillar in that early church. Through his pen of divine inspiration, he gave us two books in the New Testament. He became a great man of God and a leader for the glory of God. And you see, I believe the devil knew that. And I believe what Simon Peter had that the devil wanted so bad was what he was going to become. His future. His potential. And let me say this to the young people here tonight. God's got a plan for you. And it's a good plan. It's a great plan. It's an awesome plan. It's the best plan. But the devil hates it. And the devil despises it. And he'll do everything in his power to keep you from becoming what God wants you to be. And Jesus said, Simon, you better wake up. Because there is an enemy stalking your perimeter. And you've got something that he wants to get his hands on. Simon, the desire of the devil is he wants to sift you. When I first read that text and I thought about sifting, my mind went back to watching my mother bake a cake and how she would put that flour in that can and turn that little knob. Man, there's young people who ain't never even seen that. I mean, the closest you've seen your mama to baking the cake is buying it down there at the grocery store. But they would sift that. But did you know that's not the word picture here? When you read about that Eastern culture, how they thrashed and sifted, they would take those sheaves and bring them to a place called the threshing floor. And I'm here to tell you that is a painful, nasty, hurtful job where they would slam that weed and thresh that weed and stomp that weed. And Jesus said, Simon, you listen to me tonight. You have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and he wants to stomp you. He wants to thresh you. He wants to pounce upon you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to shake you down to the very gable end of your soul. And if there's anybody here tonight that's not had your turn on the floor, hallelujah, pray for the rest of us. Now, let me just say this tonight at the outset of the message. All you perfect people, you ain't going to get a thing out of this. All you holy people, every time you pray, you ring the bell and the angels feed you in the morning, you ain't going to get a thing out of this service. All of y'all that are filled with the Spirit and you live on the mountain, you shout all the time, and I mean you don't ever have a bad day, you ain't going to get anything out of this. But for those that are here that know what it is to think things you ought not think, and say things you ought not say, and do things you ought not do, you're going to enjoy the fire out of it. And looking over this crowd, I believe you're going to enjoy the fire out of it. I want to do right. I really do want to do right. But I got a problem. Every time I go to do right, evil is present with me. I want to soar with eagles, but I can't keep from clucking with turkeys. I want to march in victory on the mountain, but I have to pull myself out of the valley. I want to soar with the wind like an eagle, but I can't help but going through the molting season. I've got an adversary. I've got an enemy. He wants my family. He wants my potential. He wants my ministry. He wants my joy. He wants my testimony. He wants to slam it, stomp it, thrash it, shake it to the gate end of my soul. And I'm here to tell you the devil is doing a good job in 2006. Sifting, thrashing, shaking our lives. Did you know the strongest man in the Bible physically was Samson? And he knew what it was to be thrashed on the floor. Did you know the strongest man in the Bible mentally was Solomon? And he knew what it was to be thrashed upon the floor. Did you know the strongest man in the Bible spiritually was David? But he knew what it was to be thrashed upon the floor. Do you realize who I'm preaching about tonight? I'm preaching about the Pentecostal preacher. The guy that preached on the day of Pentecost. The man that got full of the Holy Ghost. My soul, the man that preached one sermon and 3,000 got saved, and he preached again next Sunday and 2,000 got in. The man that wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, a pillar of the early church, as we say in Atlanta, the man. Used of God, blessed by God, called by God. But he knew what the floor was like. He knew what failure was like. He knew what it was to be stomped and slammed and thrashed and sifted in the hands of the devil. If anybody in the Bible has been shaken to the very gable end of their soul, it was this man by the name of Simon. We had a pastor in the Atlanta area that had a little trouble. And he is not an independent Baptist. And bless his heart, he don't use the King James. And he had a little problem there. And by the way, I am an independent Baptist. And I do use the King James. That's all I use. Don't apologize for that. No. But he had a little family problem. And one of the nuts in our area, not a fundamentalist, but a stupid mentalist. There is a difference. Some people are funny, but they're not fundamental. Made this statement. That's why he's having trouble, because he don't use the King James. No, he didn't have trouble because he didn't use the King James. He had trouble the same reason why you and I that do use the King James have trouble. We have an enemy, and our flesh is weak, and without God we're nothing. And the devil stalks the perimeter, and he sets his sights upon us, and he wants to slam us and thrash us and sift us and shake us to keep us from becoming what God wants us to become. We have an adversary, and he's mean. And I'm going to tell you something about him. He don't play fair. He hits above, below, behind, and in front, and all over. And there's nothing tonight that would make him any more jubilant than to wreck your home, your family, your church, your ministry, your joy, your testimony, your life. I don't think there's anybody in heaven tonight that's already got there poking out their wings going, "Wow, man, look at me, I arrived. Man, I was such a man of faith, man. I got to go to heaven. I lived so holy before God and men. I got to go to heaven." Ain't nobody up there like that strutting no halo, no wing. You know what they're saying tonight? Oh, hell, the power of Jesus' name. You know what we're going to say in that day when we get to heaven? For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power. I mean to tell you, it's not me, it's not you, it's not them. It's all about him. Without him, we're nothing. We're failures without him. We're beggarly without him. We need him. And so he said, "Simon, you have an enemy. He's stalking your perimeter. He wants to slam you on that floor. He wants to thrash and stomp and sift and turbulent and move and wreck and tear up your life. But son, I'm glad, page 2. Here's the rest of the story. But I have prayed for thee." Glory. Simon, you got an enemy. He's got his sights set on you. He's out to thrash and sift and stomp and destroy. But Simon, get a hold of something else. I've been praying. Simon, I know you have an adversary, but boy, you got an advocate. You got somebody that's praying. But I prayed for thee. You say, "What's so good about that?" I've heard him pray before. Remember I said a while ago, do you realize who I'm talking about that failed? Now, do you realize who I'm talking about that says, "But I have prayed for thee"?
Amen.
You say, "What's so good about that?" I'm trying to tell you. I've heard him pray before.
Amen.
And any man that can pray like that, I want them praying for me. I mean, anybody that can say the blessing over 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and before he's finished, he feeds 5,000 plus the women and the children. I want somebody like that praying for me. A man who goes to the funeral of his friend and prays a little sentence, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man walks out on resurrection ground. Dear God Almighty, I want somebody like that praying for me. Anybody that can wave his hand to a raging sea and say,
"Go ahead.
Amen. I want somebody like that praying for me. A man who could pray just hours before he was crucified. Father, all them you've given me, I've lost none. I want somebody like that praying for me. A man who says, I do always those things that please my Father. I want somebody like that praying for me. Amen. Hallelujah goes right there. Somebody who was with God, who was God. I want somebody like that praying for me. And guess what? I've got somebody like that praying for me. Let me say it like this. Well, I'm down here and the devil is stomping the life out of me. He is up there praying for me. And everything down here is going to be all right because he is up there praying. And he always gets his prayers answered. Well, glory. Don't you just admire these people who are, you know, they got it together. Nothing rocks their boat. Nothing rocks their world. They can handle it. Aren't you so impressed with those people? But you and I found out about those people. They know all what's going on in your life. And they ain't got the first idea and torment what's going on in their own life. They come by and say, I have faith, bless God. Trust God, amen. And then when that trouble truck pulls up in their driveway, oh God, what are we going to do? Well, I got news for you. There will be times you're not going to know what to do. I don't even know all the questions, much less have all the answers. There's going to be times in your life and in mine, I know I need to pray. I said, I know I need to pray, but I don't know how. I know I need to, and I know I can, and I know I ought to, but I don't know how. Because when I'm thrown on the floor and the devil's got me in a chokehold, scalping the life out of me, I don't know what to say sometimes. But, there's somebody else that's doing the praying. Man, here I am on the floor. Devil got me in a chokehold. I'm being sifted. He's stomping the life out of me. And I'm just going, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. The Holy Ghost that's in me reaches in the recess of that burdened spirit and lifts that prayer that I don't even know how to word. Bless God, somebody ought to run right there for him. And lifts that and lifts that prayer up to the Father. By the time that prayer, I don't even know how the word reaches the Father. The Father says, I understand. I know what you mean. And I know what you're saying. And I love you. Help him. Help him. Help him. I'm telling you. But I don't know how to pray or what to say. I got somebody else that does my praying. But I have prayed for thee. When you up there at the funeral home, you don't know what to say, he'll say it for you. When you're up there at the hospital and you don't know what to tell him, Jesus will tell him for you. When you're laying in the bed at night and you're soaking that pillow with hot talk tears and you don't even know what to tell him, Holy Ghost to tell him. When you don't know how to talk to him, there's somebody else who always knows how to talk to him. And that somebody else who knows how to talk to him always prays in his will. He's kind of like a filter. He filters out your selfishness and your incapability and your insufficiencies and brings that prayer to the Father. Just exactly what the Father wants. Well, glory. I said, well, glory. I said, well, glory. He said, Simon, you remember this, boy, when you're on the floor and you're being stomped and sifted and thrashed and you don't know what to say, I have prayed for thee. Now, look at our text. What is Jesus praying? Watch this. He said, I'm praying that thy faith fail not. Now, let me take just a minute and quit preaching and teach just a little bit. Can I teach just a little bit right here? Just a second, and I'll get back to foaming in a minute. You know the difference between teaching and preaching? Foaming and not foaming. Somebody who does not believe the Bible anyway, all they are doing is looking for another excuse not to believe it. And they take verses they don't even understand and call it discrepancies. Well, number one, you really shouldn't use words you don't know how to spell. Number two, there are none of those in the Bible. There are no discrepancies, there are no errors, there are no contradictions. If there is one, it's your brain and not the book. And somebody says, well, you just said a while ago that Jesus always gets his prayers answered. He does. He's never been denied. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, bless God, he ain't never failed. He never will fail. He cannot fail. You said, but wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. He said here that he was praying that his faith fail not. In just a few hours, Peter cursed and swore. Yeah, you're right, he did. But that doesn't mean the Lord's prayer didn't get answered. Because he didn't say, Simon, I prayed for thee that thy flesh fail not. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Simon did. Now I'm going to go to foaming again. Now Simon did curse and swear and deny the Lord. But that wasn't his faith talking. That wasn't his faith failing. That wasn't his faith defaulting. That was his flesh. That was his flesh. If this would have been Simon Peter's faith, he'd have never wept bitterly. If this had been Simon Peter's faith, he'd have never sought repentance. Bless God, I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right here. If that had been his faith, you'd have never heard from him again. God would have wrote him off, and he'd have been an apostate. But it wasn't his faith. And God didn't write him off. And you do hear from him again. It wasn't his faith. It was his flesh. Son, he's on the floor. The devil's got him in a death grip. He's stomping the life out of him. And he's cursing and swearing and denying. And that old flesh is coming out. That old chaff is coming out. That old junk's are coming out. But bless God, in the pile of them. Amen to God. Hallelujah. In the piles of that old chaff. In the piles of that old flesh, in the piles of that old junk,
There's a little old kernel of faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. That comes and repents and gets restored and stands on the day of Pentecost and preaches the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't his faith. It was his flesh. You know what let Simon Peter down? Same thing gonna let you and me down. Flesh! But not our faith. He said, your faith, I pray that it fail not. And then he says this, and when thou art converted. Does that mean when he finally gets saved? No, there ain't no finally to it. I love to hear people talk about, well, so-and-so's saved, but brother, so-and-so's really saved. Really? Can I tell you some real deep stuff tonight? You really is or you really ain't. God don't save on the installment plan. I'm telling you, I don't care if you ain't been saved but 5 seconds. You as saved as anybody that's been saved for 50 years. It doesn't mean when you finally get saved. People who believe stuff like that are taking or smoking something. You say, well, what does that word converted mean? Well, what does the word convert mean? It means to take something and transform it into something else. Okay, what is the analogy Jesus uses in this text? Wheat. Well, what do you do after you thrash wheat? You convert it into bread. Oh, glory! Salmon! And when the ark transformed from wheat into bread. Here's a good phrase. You ready? Listen carefully. When the purposes of God are brought to a completion in your life. That's a good one. Here's a better one. When I get through working behind the scenes. When I get through making a failure and a liar out of the devil.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
When I brought you to the end of you. And bring you into the realm of what I wanted you to be all along. I'm going to make something out of you. Somebody ought to holler hallelujah right there. Simon, you remember this? When you're on that floor and the devil's beating the tar out of you and stomping you and hurting you and thrashing you and ripping you to pieces. I'm going to reach down into pieces and pull out a kernel and put you in my oven. And brother, I'm going to make some bread out of you. And when I turn you into bread, I'm going to use you to strengthen the brethren. Simon, when the devil's finished sifting, thrashing, stomping, destroying you, it ain't over. I'm going to turn you into bread. Now you convert that wheat into bread and then that bread is used to do what? To strengthen. How in the world is a failure going to strengthen anybody? Come on, talk back to me. How can a failure strengthen anybody? How can a failure preach one sermon and 3,000 people get saved?
Amen.
How can a failure pastor a church? How can a failure be a human instrument to give 2 books of the Word of God? How can a failure become a pillar in the early church? How can a failure bump wings and shoulders with angels in the midnight hour and in the glory to God? Somebody ought to holler hallelujah right there. How is a failure ever going to accomplish anything?
You got to throw God in the equation. Now, son, when the devil is through threshing and stomping and destroying, standing somewhere in the shadows, who's the God whose grace and mercy and faithfulness will kick in, and he'll make bread out of your life, and he'll use the failure to strengthen the brethren. Woo! Now watch this now. He's out there by that fire. That little girl said, "You're one of them." "No, I'm not." "You're one of them." "No, I ain't." "You're one of them." And he pitches a cursing fit. And said, "I done told you, I ain't." And as soon as he said that last time, "I ain't," Jesus walks out of the high priestess house. He didn't slap him upside of the face. He didn't utter one rebuking word. He heard him say, "I don't know him. I've told you, I cuss and I don't know him." And that's all it took. And son, Simon's world falls apart. My God, in the distance, he can hear the popping of that whip. In the distance, he can hear the ringing of that hammer. In the distance, he can see that disciple, that lady's head on Jesus' breast, walking with him every mile of the way. They's all gone but John by the time they got to Calvary. And I believe Simon Peter spends three of the worst days of his life. The Word of God said he went out and wept bitterly. That means he convulsed. He cried till there were no more tears, and he convulsed. He wept bitterly. 3 days of it, son. And it's early one Sunday morning. And he's saying something like this, "Oh, I've messed up. Oh, I can't believe the way he loved me and the way he took care of me. And man, that night when I was sinking in that storm and he reached down his hand for me, healed my mother-in-law. I don't know, maybe that's why he was denying the Lord. I don't know. Blessed my family and touched my family. Even went out there and died for me, and all I could do was cuss. Oh, I bet he hates me. Oh, I bet I'll never preach now. I will never be a fisherman of men. Oh, I have really fouled up this time. I bet he'll never even speak to me again. I bet he had really wrote me off. I seen that look in his face. He was so hurt when he looked at me. Oh, what have I done?" And about that time, somebody's at the door. Y'all go see who it is. I don't feel like having no company. I'll be back in a minute. I got to run around on that point.
Amen.
Who is it? It's Mary. "Open the door, boys. I got something to say." "What?"
"He ain't dead."
"Who?" "Jesus ain't dead. He's alive. He dead. He's alive." "Mary, calm down. How do you know?" "I heard him when he called my name. Daddy called me Mary, Mama called me Mary, but ain't nobody ever said Mary like he said Mary. He called my name. And he want me to tell y'all, he's headed in this direction. And he also wanted me to make sure. And he wanted me to be sure that if nobody else hears this, he wanted Peter. Here he sits. I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. What? What? What did you do? Me? He's asking for me. He's calling my name by resurrection ground. Oh, wow. He ain't mad at me. He still loves me. And he's coming to see me in a little while. Oh, wow. Yeah. You know what the Holy Ghost told me to do tonight on my way up here? He said, boy, you need to go to Mount Sinai Baptist Church and tell a bunch of failures that you just talked to me a while ago. And you need to go tell them, I'm thinking about them. I'm asking about them. I'm praying for them. I love them. I want to see them. I'm going to pay them a visit. And the Holy Ghost wanted me to tell you that failure is not final. And you ain't seen nothing yet. It ain't over. Well, did the Lord ever bless him? Lord blessed him more after this than it did before he got fouled up. Go ahead and write people off. Go ahead. And God will make a liar out of you. You'll have egg all over your face. You'll have to eat some humble pie. My friend in Resaca, Brother Sammy, says, I'm going to tell you, friend, when you got to eat crow, you eat it. You better eat it. You better eat it. Why, it's warm, friend. Son, I like it when God makes the devil eat crow. I got to close. I see it. I can see it. Day of Pentecost. Big religious service. They're gathered there by the thousands. And the buzz is in the air. Wonder who will bring the message. I wonder who will be the speaker in this big meeting. I wonder who's going to be the evening featured speaker. Bless God, that's a speaker. I'm a preacher. Amen. We got more speakers than we got wars. We need some preachers. Amen. Oh, I bet I know who will preach to... Oh, I got it. I bet I know who will preach to this crowd today. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that one who laid his head on... Oh, I bet it'd be him. Nah. I bet it'd be one of them others that had that great faith. Nah. Well, who in the world is going to preach to this crowd? And about that time, that old tall, brawny fisherman stands up. Walks up to the podium. And old Sister Wigglejaw says, him? Why, good night. Of all people to preach to us, him? I just heard him cuss. 43 days ago.
My God, just the other day he's cussing, swearing. They didn't even know who God is. And he can't tell nobody about God if he don't even think he knows who he is. Yeah. Go ahead, you're going to get that egg on your face if you ain't careful. Surely the Lord can do better than that. Yeah, I got news for you. He can do better than all of us. But he likes us. He loves us. He's been praying for us. But you see, something has happened to him since he got off the floor. He's been in the room. You know, if I wasn't afraid you're going to think I'm a holiness, I believe I'd shout a little bit right there. Woo! Hey! Something's happened to him since he got off the floor. He's been in the upper room. And son, I want to tell you, when you get off the floor, he'll take you to the upper room. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Yeah, that same old boy that pitched that cussing fit is now filled with the Holy Ghost and power. That same guy that denied the Lord 3 times is filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And he preaches Jesus, buddy. And heaven falls. 3,000 get saved. Preaches next Sunday. 2,000 gets in. You say, what is all of that? That's God. That's our Father who's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Failure is not final. You say, but preacher, that was years ago when he strengthened the brethren. Bless God, he's still at it. He's still at it. Yeah, he is. He strengthened me. He strengthened me one time. Thousands of years after he preached that sermon, he strengthened me one time. I was up there at the cemetery in the funeral home looking into the casket of somebody that I loved and I was going to miss real bad. My heart hurt. And a man of God walked up to me and said, boy, I know you know this, but I just want to tell you, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now guess who said that? I said, guess who said that? Some little Holy Joe? Some spiritual Steve? Some marvelous Marvin? No! You know who just said that? That old cussing fisherman. I mean the same one that said 3 times, I don't know him, and he cursed the last time. It's the same one who still comforts the hearts of God's people today. Whew! Cast it all, your care, upon him, for he careth for you. He's still strengthening the brethren. So this is what I've tried to say for the last little while. Get up off the floor. Crawl up in his lap. Because failure is not final. You know, we look at people that we admire, and sometimes we don't see what made them admirable. I've watched Larry Brown preach, and I don't know of a man in America I've ever heard preach that loves people. Who really cares for people any greater than Brother Larry. I mean, he really loves people. He loves them kind nobody wants to come to their church. He loves them kind that don't have one thing to offer him the meaner and the dirtier they are, the better he likes them. In fact, he likes him better than he does a bunch of religious people. Bless God, I'm about to join him. Say amen right there. Brother Larry was preaching one night in a church, and a little girl about 20, 21 years old came down the altar, and nobody else in the church would go pray with her. So Brother Brown said to his wife, Diane, said, come and pray with this young lady. Somebody help her. Miss Diane got beside her, and she said, honey, can I help you? She said, no, and God can't either, because I'm mad. She said, who are you mad at? She said, I hate God, and I'm mad at God. She said, honey, why are you mad at God? He took my baby. My little baby died the other day, and I'm mad about it. Miss Brown said, I'm sorry, honey. I know how you feel. She said, shut up. You don't know how it feels to lose a baby. And Diane said, no, I don't. But I know what it's like to lose two within 3 hours apart. Brother Brown was pastoring his first church, and they were giving him fits. The pressure was so bad that his wife got so nervous, she went into early labor. Rushed her to the hospital. She had one of them babies on the stretcher in the elevator. Doctor come out there and said, Brother Brown, that little baby was just born. It's dead. I just lost it. It's dead. And said, that other one that was born just a few minutes after that, it'll be dead in about 3 hours. He said, for 3 hours, I walked up down the hall, and sure enough, 3 hours to the T, that doctor come out there and said, Preacher, I'm sorry, but both of you little girls is dead. You need to call a funeral home. He said, before I could get to the phone to call a funeral home, he said, I had to go to that little chapel area, and I had to have some relief. He said, I knelt down, and I didn't do a bunch of praying that with pretty words, but I just moaned and groaned and said, oh, God, help me. And he said, about 10 or 15 minutes into that, he said, I felt somebody put their arm around me, pat me on the shoulder, and kiss me on the cheek. And I thought, well, Lord, it ain't Diane. She's too sick. It must be my brother. He looked up, and there wasn't nobody there. He said, I looked all around, and there wasn't nobody in there but me. He said, I went to the door and looked up down the hallway, and there's a little black lady mopping. I said, ma'am, did you see anybody come out of that room? She said, no, sir, I ain't never seen anybody in there but you. I wonder who that was. I wonder who that was. Well, I think you and I both know who it was. And man, Brother Brown said, I wouldn't want anybody to live that experience. But when his wife told that story to that little girl, she said, you mean you really have been there twice? She said, yeah, I've been there twice. She said, will I ever get over it? She said, well, maybe not completely, but the Lord sure will help you bear it along the journey.
Amen.
But I just told you I was mad at him. She said, I know, honey, but he ain't mad at you. I've had some feelings towards God. I'm glad he didn't have towards me. I've said some stupid stuff, man. I'm glad God didn't pay any attention to it. And she led that little old girl to God. She led that little girl, that little girl got saved, been living for God now all these years. Because you know what happened? When the devil got through stomping and thrashing and ripping and tearing, he reached down in that chaff, pulled out that indestructible kernel of divine wheat, and put it in God's oven of care, and made some bread. For 35 years, he's been winning North Augusta to God. I guess you've been wondering when I was going to give you my outline. Here it is. Here it is. Satan's got a plan. But the Savior's got a prayer. And suffering has a purpose.
and failure is not final with the Father.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.